2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look with me at verse 1. All right, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. We'll see it again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. All right, when you're reading a chapter in the Bible and you come across an opening statement like what you just read in this chapter, you got to pause for a moment and go look at these promises, because what he's about to say is there because of those promises, having therefore these promises. So we need to go back to the prior chapter and see what those promises are. And if you'll look with me in verse 16 of the prior chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. All right, promise number one, I will dwell in them. Who can testify tonight that God is dwelling in you today? Isn't that something? That was a promise from the Lord. I will dwell in them and walk in them. You know, not every Christian in whom God inhabits a place is walking with the Lord today. You know what I'm talking about? He's in them, but in some cases they're not even aware of that or concerned about that. It's a decision they made to trust Jesus Christ sometime in their lives, and they're missing out on walking with the Lord today. But he promised, I'll walk in them, and I will be their God. That's a promise. And they shall be my people. And then he says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Watch it. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you know, doctrinally, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. And the Lord is in you. Thank you for all of that you've done for us, Father. But I'm going to tell you something. When the promises here that he's speaking about are more than just a doctrinal fact, they are a relationship. Did you see that? I'll dwell in them and I'll walk in them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. There's a relationship there. You see it? And that's a promise, and it hinges on some things. And so what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is, having these promises that God would enter into such a complete, loving, fulfilling relationship with us, that to be our Father, we'd be His sons, and all of that you've just read, he said, let's do something. He says in 2 Corinthians 7, 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we want to talk about that tonight. He said, let us cleanse ourselves. So this is something that we perform. Let us cleanse ourselves. It's like you need a bath, so you take a bath or a shower. You cleanse yourself. You have spent the day, you know, eating and doing whatever. You brush your teeth. You do that. Okay, that's something you're supposed to do. Let us cleanse ourselves. In the Old Testament, whenever the priests are going to serve in the tabernacle, whenever the Levites are going to serve the priest in the work that they do, whenever they're going to offer sacrifices, they have to cleanse themselves. You've read the Old Testament. You know what I'm talking about. There is a routine. There's something that they have to perform. They have to offer certain sacrifices, wash certain clothing, so forth like that. They had a specific pattern of cleansing that they had to follow. And then after they were cleansed, after they were sanctified, after they were consecrated, then they could offer the sacrifices, or then they could do their duties. Remember that? But they had to be clean in order to do that. So likewise, you and I have things that we must do to cleanse ourselves. We have a functional responsibility in our being clean from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Something that we do is in the prior chapter, and we just read it. Something that we do in verse 17 of the prior chapter is, Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. All right, well, he spent the few verses up to where you're reading telling you how to do that. He says in verse 14 of chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I have seen Christians fall in love with non-Christians and get married. You know what it does? It affects your relationship with God. Or they get married to somebody who is a Christian, but they don't enjoy the same level of faith and walk with the Lord, and pretty soon the whole family's pretty dull on their Christian walk. You've seen it. So he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None. And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, we talked about that this morning. None. Those are two separate things completely. What concord hath Christ with Belial? That's a name for the devil. Or what part hath a believer, he that believeth with an infidel? Somebody that believes with somebody that doesn't unbelieve. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Well, you don't see any idols around here today. And that's because we, as the temple of God, have no fellowship with things that are not God. Right? All right, so he says, you know what he says? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Tonight you heard Ori presenting to you a little of what took place, and he talked about one of the ladies there who recognized when she started reading the Bible, there are some things in the Bible that are not matching up with some of the things I've been taught in my religion. And you know what she did? She came out. Many of us have come out. I grew up in that kind of religion where there was idolatry and routine prayers and all that, and I came out of that. And the reason he said, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord. You separate yourself from that, and it improves your relationship with the Lord. I have friends of mine, and perhaps you do too. And I'm confident, not because I'm the judge, just because of their testimony, that they're saved. But they're still in the Catholic Church, for instance, where I came out from. Their relationship with the Lord and my relationship with the Lord are not the same. Again, I'm not making a judgment. I'm just making an observation. There's a limitation. You know that. You've seen it. And perhaps you even experienced it for a while. So he says, I want you to clean up from that. Come out from that. Touch not the unclean thing. Well, when you do that, you know what you're doing? You are cleansing yourself, right, from something that is either a filthiness of the flesh or of the spirit. So let me give you one example so you don't think that there's some religion bashing going on here. That's not the case at all. We're not trying to do that at all. What we're trying to do is help you to understand how to have a better relationship with God. When I was growing up in the Catholic Church and I was going to be a priest, and when you do the communion, when the priest does the communion, he is professing that he is changing that bread into the literal body of Christ, and that blood into that wine into the little blood of Christ. And then he holds up the chalice and he holds up the wafer, the big host. And when he raises it up, everybody in the congregation is to make a bow of the head and to say to that piece of bread, my Lord and my God. I want to tell you something. That is not your Lord. That is not your God. It's a piece of bread. Okay. Your Lord and your God is a living, risen Savior who has already offered one sacrifice forever and sat down at the right hand of God. You don't have to have another one every Sunday. Do you understand that? All right? So that's not a clean thing to profess to this, my Lord and my God. The clean thing is to profess to the risen Savior on the right hand of God. That's my Lord and that's my God. Okay? So that cleanses you when you do that. And that's something that is on you to do. That's something that's on me today to do. And that is to separate from things that separate us from God. All right? You need to do that. Another thing that we must do to cleanse ourselves is we should confess our sins. Keep your finger here, because what I'm going to tell you is not the main topic. It's part of the introduction, but look at it. We can't overlook what I'm going to show you. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. You know, people say, well, how do I cleanse myself? Well, separate from things that are unclean. That'll clean you up. You know, if you take a bath and you don't step in the mud puddle, your shoe won't be it won't be dirty, right? Okay. All right, in 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, there's that word, cleanseth us from how much sin? All sin. All sin. All right, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, there's that word, from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. And he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So one of the things you can do is that when you commit a sin, when I commit a sin, then what we do is we confess to the Lord. You know, I read in my Bible that what I just did, what I just thought, what I just said is not right. This is a sin. I confess that to you by way of agreement. I already know he's going to forgive me because he died for all those sins at Calvary, but the key to it is he's going to cleanse you from that unrighteousness. He's going to cleanse you from that sin. So how do we cleanse ourselves? Well, we separate from things that are unclean, and we confess it when we do something that is wrong so he can cleanse us in our unrighteousness, cleanse us from all sin. Right? Okay. So we already know that he died for those sins. We know that he's forgiven us, but I'm going to tell you something. When my wife and I made a decision that we were going to, you know, commit to a marriage, I'm going to tell you, it just makes things a whole lot easier if I will apologize when I... Okay? Yeah, it brightens the relationship up a little bit. One pastor said, the three most important words in the relationship are, I love you, and the two most important words are, I'm sorry. They help, I'll tell you. All right. But the thing we want to spend the most time on tonight about cleansing ourselves is something else. So let's go back to the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm going to give you something tonight that will really work in your life to cleanse you. And it will cleanse you literally from anything that's filthy. He says all filthiness. This will encompass anything going on in your life, in your flesh, or in your spirit that's not clean. And it's this. You must spend time in the Word of God. You must spend time in the Word of God. Now, we're a Bible-believing church. You hear a lot about Bible reading. I want to approach this subject tonight from the standpoint of cleaning up things in your life that you have been told in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, that you need to clean up. He said, let us cleanse ourselves. Paul included himself in that. I'm including myself in this as well. We all need to spend time in the Word of God with the express purpose that our time in the Word of God is going to clean us up as the temple of God because of those promises that he gave us to dwell in them and walk in them, be a father to them, sons, they'll be sons and daughters to me, that whole thing, right? All right, so what we're going to do with this in mind, don't lose your place here because we'll come back and preach each part of the text. But I want you to go with me now and do a little journey in the Word of God. Look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. All right, in John chapter 15, Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. If you have a red letter Bible, I was talking to somebody the other day and he said, I love to read my Bible and I really get excited when I'm reading it and it's written in red. he's speaking to his disciples here and he says to them in verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, verse 3, ye are, what's the next word? Clean through what? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know, the beautiful thing about this Bible here, truly, is when you take these words that are written here, and you sit down wherever you like to read, in your patio, at your table, in your chair, you know, on the floor, walking, however you choose to do that. And you read this word as it is spoken to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleans you. In other words, you've heard me say this before. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That inspiration is a work of God where when you're sitting down, He is giving you understanding in what you're reading because He's right there with you to help you understand what you're reading. You know, well, sometimes we're quick to go to commentaries or some other way to really try to see what it is that we're reading when we don't understand it. I want to encourage you the next time just to sit down and say, Lord, what is this? What are you saying to me? And here's the reason why. Number one, the doctrine of this book is the same whether you're reading it here in Texas or giving it to somebody on Reunion Island or in Russia or Ukraine or South America or Mexico, where we were recently. It doesn't make any difference where you are. The doctrine here is the same. It's what the Bible says. But you know something? If every one of us here read the same chapter today and came back this afternoon to discuss what we heard from the Lord, you'd all have something different to say about it because He's speaking to you out of the words of Scripture, right? It's a spiritual application, and what's happening, if you'll take your time with it, is He is cleansing you as He's speaking to you out of His words. These words have a voice. I'm not going to ask you who here likes to bathe and who here likes to shower. I don't think I want to know that. Okay, but I'm going to tell you something. There are times when you want to draw a hot bath or you just want to get under that shower nozzle and soak a while. It just feels good. Just let it run on you, right? Yeah. You ought to let this Bible just run on you a bit. Just let God just work it through you. Just clean you up. The word that I have spoken unto you, that's what this does. You present yourself before the Lord in His word, and He cleans you with it while He, and I'll tell you something, this book can cleanse every filthiness represented by every sinner that's sitting in here tonight. You don't have something so special that this book can't clean. Right? All right, so he said in the text that we're reading tonight, he said, there are two areas that I want you to clean from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Right? Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. He said, I want you to clean up two areas of your life. I want you to clean up your flesh, and I want you to clean up your spirit. All right, Psalm 119. This morning I preached and I encouraged anybody that was not on the path of uprightness or who had gotten off the path of uprightness to get on it today and stay on it. The day that happened to me in my life, you know the story. I held the Bible up. I said, Lord, wherever it opens, that's where I'll read. It opened to this chapter in the Bible. And I'm telling you, I came out of my chair and knelt down in front of that ottoman when I read verse 9. And I spent the rest of the night reading this chapter on my knees. And I'm not saying that to brag. It got a hold of me. Wherewithal, Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man, what's the next word? That's what we're talking about tonight. Cleanse. Wherewithal shall a young man, do we have any young men in here tonight? I guess we have one. Yeah, I love it. Thank you, William. I did the same thing, man. You see this gray hair, and I shoot my hand right up in there. You betcha. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You've got to listen to him when he's talking to you out of this book. And when you do, and you pay attention to how he's speaking to you out of it, what he's telling you, and you take heed according to that word, and you follow that word, he guides you out of the ways that were unclean. He starts showing you, and he'll say, no. I I can't help this. I don't usually like to point out illustrations of people that are in the congregation. And Cade knew better than to sit on the front row back in the, because I always kept calling on him, and now I'm calling on him. I'm going to point it out again. But you know, when Cade first set foot in this door, he didn't look like he looks today. Some of y'all might remember that. Remember, he had long hair. All right, he's reading through his Bible, and he gets in there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the length of a man's hair. And he came in here and got with Brother Randy. He said, I want to ask you a question. Isn't that right? He said, that thing in there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about long hair, is that written to the Corinthians or is that written to all of us? And the next time he came in here, he didn't have that long hair. Now, you know what? The Lord did that. Nobody said a word to him about that. But God did. And when he did, he said, you know what I want you to do? You need to change that. And Lacey's glad that he did. All right, so you know what that does? What he's telling you, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You don't know how to clean your way. You don't know what God considers clean compared to what you consider clean. You don't know. But as you read, he tells you. And then when you follow what he says, you know what he's doing? He's getting the filthiness out. And he says, you know what? You need to get rid of that. I'm going to tell you, after I read this and I saw that verse of Scripture, I was like, I'm sure there are things in my house that are not clean. And it wasn't any time at all. God was like, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go. And you know what? Those things went. What was that doing? Cleaning up the flesh. Cleaning up the flesh. Turn with me. You're in Psalm 119. Look at verse 97. There's a little passage here. This is the little passage that runs from 97 to 104 is all one unit. Now watch this. This is how it works in your life when you... Now I'm not just telling you to read your Bible. You hear that. I'm talking to you about getting cleaned up by the Word of God. Cleanse yourself, okay? Watch this. Oh, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. Do you love that book tonight? Amen. Me too. If you really love the book, listen, it is my meditation all the day. What happens is you read something and you're cogitating on it. You're mulling it over in your mind and thinking about what you've read, meditating on it. And then what happens as you're meditating on it and walking through the day, the Lord said, you see right there, that's what I'm talking about. And you're like, okay, that's got to go. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. All right, that ought to be good for every student in here tonight that's in school. And you got teachers in there that are teaching you a bunch of stuff, but if they're not teaching you what's in this book, you can have more understanding than your teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Watch what it does to you to meditate on that word. Watch it, verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. So you're meditating on it and keeping that word and it's in there cleansing you, and the Lord's speaking to you about some things, and you're going along and the Lord says, that's an evil way. You know, okay, I've refrained my feet from that. That cleans you up. That cleans you up. If I sat down here tonight, and I know some of your stories because we've talked. If we sat down here tonight and said, just give us a little testimony, everybody in this room can stand up and say, there was a day when I'd been reading my Bible, God spoke to me about this going on in my life and told me it's time for you to change that. And now I'm not doing that anymore. Is that not correct? Yeah. All right, and then he says in verse 102, I've not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, look, I hate every false way. There are things today I hate that I didn't used to hate. There are things today I hate that I used to love. And you know what changed that in me? The Bible. The Bible, taking heed to the Word of God. So as you follow God's Word and He guides you away from ways that would defile you, you know what He does? In the first case, he shows you that's not good. You need to get that out of your life. So you get it out. The first case, he gets it out. And with the second case, what we're reading here in Psalm 119, 97 to 104, he keeps it out. In the first place, he gets it out. In the second place, he keeps it out. And and your flesh changes. You learn to hate things you used to love. And in this way, you cleanse your flesh. The word changes when it cleanses your flesh. The word changes what you do. The word changes what you do. And you don't ever want to grow out of this. You don't ever want to grow out of this. As many years as I've lived and as much as I've been reading since the time that I began to read so many years ago, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is still saying, get that out and keep that out. It's an ongoing process. Cleanse your flesh from all filthiness. And cleanse your spirit, he says. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. All right? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. You've seen that. And spirit. And spirit. All right? So what about that? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5 is all about marriage and then the Lord's relationship to the church. So he's like a husband, the church is like a bride, and he says in verse 26, well, look at verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now verse 26, that he might sanctify, and what's the next word? Cleanse. We're talking about cleansing. And cleanse it with what? With washing of water by the word. So this word has a cleansing effect, not only on your flesh by guiding you out of things that you shouldn't be doing and keeping you out of things that you shouldn't go into, but also by working on you from the inside. Sanctify and cleansing the church with washing, with the washing of water by the word. There is a washing effect. I've given this illustration a few times before. I heard it years ago when I was sitting where you're sitting and going to Bible college, and Dr. Ruttman gave the illustration, but it's a good one. And the illustration is a father was trying to teach his son a valuable lesson, and there was a basket there, a wicker basket, a woven basket. And he said, son, go down to the creek and fill that up with water and bring me a basket full of water, right? You know what happens. So the kid goes down there and he fills it up. Well, when he walks back, it's empty. And he says, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. All the water went out. He said, well, go back and get me a basket of water. So he goes back, and this time he trots back. And when he gets back, it's empty again. He's thinking, how am I ever going to get this done? So he goes back there and puts it in the water again. And this time he runs back, and it's empty again. And he just looked at his dad, and he said, I'm a failure. I can't bring you a basket of water. He said, son, you're not a failure. Look at the basket. It's clean. It's clean. And that was the lesson. And you read the Bible and you think, I didn't get anything out of that today. You got more out of it than you thought you did, because it's cleaning you up. And a lot of times it's cleaning you up from the inside out. It's kind of like you heard in Ori's testimony tonight. The lady got saved, but nobody that was there knew she got saved, but God knew she was saved. Her spirit had changed even though nobody else had heard the testimony yet. Your spirit has changed even though the changes haven't worked themselves out into your actions yet. You're getting clean from the inside out. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, the Lord was really getting on the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, right before his crucifixion, because they were all about looking good. And, you know, we've all tried that game before. And it's skin deep. Doesn't work. All right, they were all about looking good, but they weren't about being good. And Jesus Christ knew that about them, and he pointed it out. Of course, they didn't like what he had to say, but here's what he said. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. All right, here's what he said. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. So the Lord's not only interested in us cleaning up the flesh, he wants to clean up the inside. That stuff that he sees but other people can't see. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So what the Lord wants to do when he says, cleanse that filthiness out of your flesh, you know what that is now, but out of that spirit, there are things inside that he has to wash with the word, and he can't do it if you don't pick up the book and read. That's why I say it is your duty. It's let us cleanse ourselves. You're reading with the intent that you want God to do something on the inside. All right, well, how effectively is he going to do that? Go back to Psalm 119. How effectively? How's he going to make that happen? Psalm 119. We were in verse 9 initially. Look at verse 11 this time. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I what? Hid in mine heart. For what purpose? That I might not sin against thee. All right, so now he said, let us cleanse ourselves. Okay, this is something that takes effort on your part, and that is to not just read it, but to hide it in your heart, to get it in there, and get it to stay in there. In this way, you cleanse your spirit. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to hide that word in your heart? How are you going to do that? You're going to memorize it. You're going to meditate on it. You're going to apply it over and over until it gets real clear in your mind. You know you can read a verse of Scripture and get some understanding. You can even memorize it with a little bit of understanding. But you know, when you're mulling it over, applying it in your life, allowing it to speak to you from the inside out, you know what you're doing then? You're hiding it in your heart in a way that it has a life-changing effect. Not just so you can quote a verse of Scripture, but so the verse of Scripture now becomes something in you. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Not just so I can memorize it, that I might not sin against thee. See, it has a life-changing effect to do that. Recently, I was sitting down with a person and she wanted to go over and quote some Scripture that she had memorized. But here's the remarkable thing. People that are close to her have said, we notice there's been a change in your life. And she said, I know the reason, because I'm now memorizing, understanding, and living by the verses that are inside here, and they are changing my spirit and my relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, that's just the way it works. In this way, you cleanse your spirit. So when the word cleanses your flesh, it changes what you do. When the word cleanses your spirit, listen, it changes who you are. It changes the person you are. You, from the inside out, are not the same person. Go back over to Ephesians with me, to Ephesians chapter 4. I know this passage I'm going to show you doesn't say anything about cleansing, but it shows you what's taking place in your spirit as you are making changes in your life according to the Word of God that's getting in you. Okay? Here's functionally what's happening. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, you put off concerning the former conversation, so that's the way you used to act and talk, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Is there anybody here tonight that would raise the hand and say, preacher, I don't know about that verse, but my old man's not corrupt? Just for the record, for those who can hear but can't see, nobody raised his or her hand. All of us have flesh that's been corrupted, right? And according to the deceitful lust. And you know what he said? Put it off. What's the next verse? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You get that word in there and start hiding it in your heart, and it changes the spirit. It renews the spirit of your mind. Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It renews that spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then that you put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. And he said, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When you start seeing holiness produced in your life because of the effect of these words, It is an awesome, awesome change. And a welcome change, I might add. And a desirable change for you, for God, and everybody else around you. So that old man, that's who you were. And that new man, that's who you become. That's who you become. Cleanse your spirit. And then he said in the passage that's our text tonight, he said, having therefore these promises. So what are those promises? That Father, Son, dwelling, walking, wonderful relationship with God. You cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. The Word of God pulls you out of some things you were doing, keeps you from getting into some things that you might otherwise have done, and then goes to work on the inside, actually changing your spirit, renewing the spirit of your mind as He's washing you inside out. And the result in 2 Corinthians 7:1 is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about getting clean, aren't we? Look in Psalm 19, not Psalm 119, but Psalm 19. Psalm 19, talking about getting clean. Is there anybody in here tonight that likes to be dirty? Hey, if you've been out there in the yard working in the landscape, you come in, you're all kind of sweaty, and you know, show off to your wife a little bit, you know. But you're heading for the shower, you know, and cleaning up a little bit. All right, so Psalm 19, look at, he said, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is, what's the next word? It's clean. It's clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. So what happens is you start getting that word in there, you start meditating on it, applying it, and you're living by it and changing and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That fear of the Lord is clean. And you don't have to pretend to be, you really are. You don't have to take the BO and spray a bunch of cologne on what on just to make it, you know. You get clean. Really clean. So Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I've got this and then one other verse I want to show you tonight to bring the message to its completion here. But Proverbs chapter 2, we've seen this passage before, preached on it recently, but in the context of what we're discussing tonight, watch how this great Word of God works in your life. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. As I said this morning, I can preach, but if they're not going in, they're not going to do you any good. But when you receive those words and hide my commandments with thee, just like you saw in Psalm 119, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, that criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. I mean, that's somebody that is digging through the Scripture and the Scripture is digging through them. Then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, I can talk to you. I think I can give you good illustrations in explaining the fear of God. That's not going to be nearly as valuable to you as you understanding the fear of God firsthand because of your experience with Him in the Word of God, where He has given you the opportunity to know Him, find the knowledge of God, and fear Him, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's clean. That is clean. Then you understand it. So what are you saying? I remember years ago, our friend in Vietnam was learning to speak Vietnamese, and he had one of his tutors was Buddhist, and he applied himself to that language the same way you would if you were studying for a PhD. I mean, those first 5 years, he was determined he was going to know Vietnamese well enough to be Vietnamese. And it worked. It worked. He used to sit at the taxi queue with the taxi drivers. He said, I knew I had that language, not when I was dreaming it, had been doing that a long time, not when I was speaking it, been doing that a long time, and not when I was thinking in it. I knew that I had the language when I could tell those taxi drivers a joke and they would laugh. I knew we were connected then. One of his tutors was a Buddhist. So Asian, Buddhist, and he came to him one day and he said to our friend, he said, so tell me about eternal life. Tell me how to have eternal life. And his answer was, when you have it, you'll know. That's like putting cheese in front of a mouse. That's like putting a mouse in front of a cat. It wakes up something like, well, I got to search, I got to seek out what that is. And so that tutor began to seek and to search and to carry on, just like this passage right here says, exactly that way. And one day he came in with a big old smile on his face, and our friend said, what's that? What's the big smile on your face? He said, I know now, because I have it. You say, what about that fear of the Lord? When you go through this process, you'll understand the fear of the Lord, and you'll see the clean that comes from Him. And you'll find the knowledge of God. This is a process of growth. It is a continual cleansing. You know, people today that said, I don't believe there's God and we all got here by evolution. You know what they are? They're lazy. Is the problem. They haven't pored over these words. If you hadn't seen my Bible and you're curious about all that, you come take a look at this and you'll see we spent a little time in here. If they would pore over these words with a humble mind and a believing heart, they would come to a different conclusion about how they got here and where they're going than they have. But they're lazy. They sat in a college classroom. Somebody said it was evolution. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's evolution. That sounds good to me because now I can do anything I want to. They're lazy. And they're not clean. They're not clean. And they don't know God. And that's why they say they don't believe He exists. They're not even aware. He's here right now. He's in here. I've been talking to Him today and walking with Him today, having a good time with God. He is very, very real. Very real. But you gotta listen. I remember I told you, I talked to a fellow one time and he said, well, if He's God, why doesn't He show Himself? I said, He did. He showed up down here for 3.5 years, walked around here healing people. And I mean, for 33 and a half years, but for 3.5 years in the ministry, healing people, raising people from the dead, doing things that nobody else has ever done, died for your sins and rose from the grave. He's here. Been here. He showed Himself. Well, I don't mean that. Yeah, well, that's what He meant. Yeah, but if He was God, why does He speak to us? I said, He does. I was listening to Him this morning. He talks to me every single day. It right here in the book. Well, I don't mean that. I mean, like, speak to us. I said, right there. I mean, speak to us. He'll speak to you. Yeah, He's right here. Just pick up the phone. There He is. Every day. Every day. And those things get in you. You get those words in you by memory, by application, by life. And He cleans you up. He cleans you up and He keeps you clean. Young people in here that have never really soiled your lives with sin, don't start. Don't start. Stay clean. Those of us who have been down a road that we went down and have gotten cleaned up, we're not going back for that dirt anymore. This sheep wants to stay with sheep, doesn't want to get in with the pigs back in the pig slop anymore. Amen? Amen? Oh, that's a very, very true thing. So last thing, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, talking about getting cleaned up. Let us cleanse ourselves. Okay, well, you do that by changing those associations. You separate from things that are unclean. That's easy. That's obvious. All right, and then you cleanse yourself. How? When you sin, confess it. He'll clean you. It's not just a matter of getting back into good fellowship. It's clean you up. But this thing, staying clean, getting clean and staying clean. John chapter 6, verse 63. We don't have to read the context here because Jesus Christ is telling you something about His words. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Watch it. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are the only things that can cleanse your spirit. And they will cleanse your spirit because they are spirit and they are life. And what happens when they get in you and they become a part of you and you love them and you live by them, you find that your life is becoming patterned by the things that you've been reading and changing by the things that you've learned. And you live that way. as much as you might eat eggs and bacon or whatever you eat for breakfast or drink your smoothie and whatever you eat for lunch to nourish your body, and your body reflects that you've been taking care of it with good nourishment, your spirit will also reflect that you've been taking good care of it by the words of life. And you say, how do you know that? Because your spirit's cleaning up. Thoughts that used to come to mind don't come there anymore. If they do, you hate them and you run them out of there as quick as you can. Amen. Things you used to want to see and say, you abhor the fact that you might have even thought to say it or even had it pass through your mind. You know what's happening? You're perfecting holiness now in the fear of God. It is a tremendous truth, and I pray tonight that you'll apply it in your life. As I said, the young ones, and there are many of you here tonight, this is not some old fuddy up here. He just keeps talking about reading. Get in there and try it for yourself. You'll find out that what I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. You want to live by that the rest of your life. And if you've found that there's a couple of areas in your life where you're really having some difficulty getting something out of there, get more Bible. Get serious about the book. He will fix you. And you will like what He's done. Amen. Father, thank You so much tonight for the cleansing work of Your blood, of Your spirit, of Your word, of Your fellowship. Tonight, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, You will help us to apply what we've learned and live by it. Lord, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed for this brief prayer. We've got folks that are visiting with us tonight and others that are here. Perhaps something tonight was said that stirred the heart of somebody here that needs a little time with the preacher, either to learn how to get saved or to learn something about the book, Father, that will help them dealing with a problem. I pray that they will be humble enough to seek help from You first and from us too, if need be, so they don't have to live with these things going on in their lives. We ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
166. 166.